All right, here we go. Hour number two of The Blitz is live. We'll start things off here with a little bit of an opening drive. And here we go. First down. Gentlemen, Cleveland Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., his season is officially over, as the Browns have announced that the star wide receiver has suffered an ACL tear in his left knee. Odell Beckham Jr. underwent an MRI on Monday morning. He was injured on the Browns' second snap Sunday while attempting to chase down a Bengals defender following a Baker interception. Tough, tough break for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I bet he won't be chasing down any more defenders like that. That's tough, though, because they are that division obviously having a really great year. 5-0 Steelers, 5-1 Ravens, 4-2 Browns. Only team, which is expected with the rookie quarterback, 1-4 Bengals.
But they don't look bad.
No, they don't.
They don't look bad.
Huh? That's just Joe Burrow's look like maybe he is the real deal. I think they'll be good in a couple years, but that's a big blow for the Browns. I know that they really rely on the running game, but still, anytime you lose an athlete of OBJ's caliber, you never want that to happen.
Hey, go pick up Rashard Higgins in fantasy.
Nice.
Second down. Gentlemen, game four of the World Series, game five of the World Series took place last night. The LA Dodgers defeat the Rays by a score of 4-2, so they are leading in the World Series 3-2. But really, it was a wild weekend for the World Series in general.
Game four was wild.
Game four, winning on that last play. Yeah. Man, the play at the plate, there was just some
bobble,
awesome baseball going on.
Bobble by the center fielder. The catcher drops the ball. Ozarino, he pulls a Daniel Jones. He goes head over heels. And they still get the win. They come back.
The guy who hit the, he was just sprinting all over the. He looked like he was having the most fun of anybody in the planet in that moment.
He hit the jet, the Jason Terry.
Yeah, he did.
He hit the jet. But no, great. It's been a great series, and maybe it does go to seven. I remember when we talked to Logan, that's what he predicted. I know a lot of people predicted seven games. Kershaw gets his second win of the World Series last night. He looked great. Good for him. And the bats. The bats were alive for the Dodgers last night, and they hit some moonshots. Was it Muncy?
He hit a bomb.
Well,
this is twice now that Glasnow has struggled, which is disappointing to see. I thought he'd step up on the big stage.
Power pitcher, power home runs.
You mentioned that walk-off. Brandon Lowe had to get an IV afterwards after celebrating because his heart rate got up to 140 and he couldn't calm himself down or breathe normally.
Was that the guy who was running around like
they hit the jet?
Yes.
I'm telling you, I've never seen a man celebrate a moment like that. I was so jealous. But it's been
a great World Series.
You know, we've talked about this. Like, I haven't been interested in this baseball postseason at all. Locked into the World Series, though. It has been great. Gentlemen, third down. Ha-ha. Now, you know I had to bring this back up. UFC 254 over the weekend. Lightweight champion versus lightweight interim champion. Khabib Nurmagomedov. Such a hard name to say.
Say that five times.
Versus Justin Gaethje. It was a second round submission with Khabib defending his UFC lightweight championship. Look, it went into the second round. I actually thought that Gaethje won the first round. I thought Gaethje played I'm in the football mindset. I thought Justin Gaethje had a really great fight in the first round. Kind of took it to Khabib in some unexpected places. Kind of kept the fight on his feet, which is what, I really feel like Gaethje needed to do. But man, once it into the second round, Khabib took him down, got him into the triangle. 1, 2, 3. He tapped. It was over. Khabib retains his championship and then retires at the age of 32 from the UFC. Asked Dana White if he could go down on the number one spot on the pound for pound list. Dana White expects this to stick, which I don't know if I do, but Khabib wins over Justin Gaethje in UFC 254.
Didn't Dana White also mention that Khabib was fighting with like a partially broken foot that he suffered a couple weeks ago?
Yes, that is also true. Khabib did that with a broken foot.
Good googly moogly. I mean, that's crazy. I'm pissed though because I thought this fight was Saturday night. I knew about this fight all week. I was excited about it. I love Saturday night fight night when you watch football all day and then you go to the bar and you just settle in back from the bar. You throw on ESPN Plus and boom, some dudes trying to kill each other in an octagon.
Yep.
And I looked at my phone instead, and I was like, oh, well, we're down 1,000 points to Alabama. What's going on in the sports world? And the fight was over. Frustrating.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy like that, huh? I guess when you have it on the other side of the world. Which, again, we've been able to have, you know, other fights go down in prime time, but I'm sure this one caught a lot of people off guard as well. But yeah, Khabib wins and then retires, so we'll see what's next. Last but not least, gentlemen, everybody, going back to the college football world, as Wisconsin was able to do something big over the weekend. They won against, they destroyed Illinois, right?
Who cares?
They won 45-7.
Illinois football.
This guy,
is Lovie Smith still the coach?
Santa Lovie.
Is it? Is he?
He does look like Santa, though.
He's still the coach.
So
they suck.
The point is being that Wisconsin Badgers quarterback Graham Mertz, after having just a ridiculous game, the guy had 20 of 21, 248 yards, 5 touchdowns, and then the very next day, Brandon, test positive for COVID-19. Now, apparently, if this is confirmed, this guy Mertz will have to miss a minimum of 21 days, 3 weeks out of an 8-week season, after just having one of the most incredible openings you could ever have.
Is that... why?
That's that Big Ten COVID policy they got.
3 weeks? But nobody recommends
it's
just, 3 weeks.
It's so absurd. Where did they get that in?
Remember, we talked about that before they were coming back. They had someone absurd, like, you got to sit for, like...
We knew they would, right? Yeah. Because they were the ones who didn't want to do it the most in the first place, but it kind of just felt like, hey, they're being pressured to come back, so but they're still going to have their guidelines because... you know, they still believe that it shouldn't have even been played in the first place. We shouldn't be shocked, but it is kind of a crazy thing nonetheless.
There just can't be a doctor or health official or anybody out there that advised them 21 days. I mean, that's got to be a number they came up with on their own, and it just feels kind of absurd. Because now we see a guy that was an incredibly exciting freshman on a good football team missing basically half a season.
It's a bummer for that kid, to say the least. I mean, man, you really do. You walk out into the field, you didn't expect to be the start of this season, and then you just go and light up the scoreboard. Hopefully, maybe he gets back soon.
They do rapid testing, and then it still has to be confirmed with, like, the nasal swab that's sent off to the lab, because the rapid tests have a higher false positive rate. So there's still a chance, holding out, that it's a false positive.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see what happens with that, but I just thought that was a little interesting note from
college
football world.
I'll give you a fifth down today.
Love it. We had a penalty.
According to ESPN, Mark Schlabach, I know, pivot real fast from college football and the football world to college basketball.
Okay.
Guys in the University of Arizona and Sean Miller.
Yes.
Well.
Cheaters.
Once again, have been served with 9 allegations of misconduct, including 5 level 1 allegations, the most serious under NCAA rules, following the multi-year investigation of its men's basketball program. The Athletic first reported this number of allegations and also report on Sunday that Arizona has been charged with lack of institutional control, failure to monitor, and Wildcats coach Sean Miller has been charged with lack of head coach control.
No, that's the first time I've ever heard that one.
Yeah, it's a new one for me, too. On Friday, Arizona officials acknowledged receiving the notice of allegations from the NCAA, but declined to release or provide details. Typical. Also, a special meeting of Arizona Board of Regents scheduled for today.
So their notice of allegations include lack of institutional control and failure to monitor?
Yep.
Oh, those are 2 biggies.
Those are the big ones.
Oh, they're about to get hammered.
Those are the big ones, but... if we don't remember, a couple years ago, we thought they were really going to get hammered with the whole DeAndre Ayton, excuse me.
Well, but they never, the NCAA never came out with notice
of
allegations.
No, they didn't. They didn't. Though, but it was just, you know, that was the same time the Will Wade stuff and the stuff with Oklahoma State basketball coach. So the NCAA enforcement staff also accused LSU coach Will Wade of either arranging for or offering impermissible payments to at least 11 potential recruits or others around them, according to documents obtained by ESPN in August. The LSU case will also be handled by IARP, along with those involving Kansas, Louisville, and North Carolina State. So, We remember that Alabama, Auburn were also under an investigation, but none of those schools have confirmed receiving a notice of allegations. Oklahoma State is the only program to receive the penalties thus far, but this is pretty huge for college basketball world. Sean Miller, will this be finally the one that takes him down?
Dang.
Oh, because he's like Will Wade. Like, he don't give a damn.
I mean, if they slap a failure to monitor, lack of institutional control, and then a lack of head coach control, which I'd never even heard of, if they throw that on you, I don't see any way Arizona can keep him.
I don't see, like, I feel like he gets fired today when they have that meeting. They have to fire him today.
Yeah, I mean, they probably having a show cause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Guys, go ahead.
It was just more backstory. I was just telling, former assistant Emmanuel Book Richardson was one of the four former assistant coaches who pleaded guilty for their roles in the federal bribery case. He pleaded guilty to one felony count of conspiracy to commit bribery in a plea deal, after accepting $20,000 to steer Arizona players to certain managers and financial advisors. And then that's what I was talking about with the DeAndre Ayton when he was there at Arizona. It was on a wiretap recording to the jury. Richardson told aspiring manager Christian Dawkins that Miller was paying Ayton $10,000 per month while he was enrolled at the school. So if you want to go follow along with that story, like I said, ESPN released that. There'll be a meeting today. Arizona Board of Regents, see if Sean Miller, probably likely, as Brandon said, maybe get fired today.
Wow. Well, that'll be a big story that we will try to keep our eye on. You guys, we've been talking a lot of Tennessee-Alabama football, and look, we're not done with that conversation yet, but it's a Monday morning. It's raining outside. I don't know what you're doing, but maybe you need a little optimism. Well, good news, that's where we come in. How about we talk a little Tennessee basketball, just for a minute? Because on ESPN, Jeff Borzello, they have released their first of the way too early top 25 for the 2020-2021 college basketball season. I feel like it's also not way too early anymore. I feel like it's just maybe the too early, or maybe the early.
Yeah, it's just early.
Yeah. But it's not like we're back in January. Like, we were reading the – I mean, Grant, we were still playing in January. Anyways, all right, I'm going to go down one through whenever we get to Tennessee. And I want you to stop me at the number that you think Tennessee is going to be beforehand, all right? Everyone got that? All right, good to go. All right, so in the way too early preseason top 25 from ESPN, here you go. Number one is Baylor. Number two, Villanova. Number three, Gonzaga. Number four, Virginia. Number five, Kentucky. Number six, Iowa.
Stop.
All right, you think Tennessee's seven? Okay. Number seven is, by the way, that was my guess as well. Number seven is the Wisconsin Badgers. Mm. So you got them a little bit ahead of Tennessee. Number eight, Illinois, the Fighting Illini.
Stop.
All right, so you think nine?
I would say nine or ten.
Okay. Nine goes to the Kansas Jayhawks, a future opponent for Tennessee coming up this January.
Toupee wearing Bill Self.
Then you got number 10. So if we don't make it here, we're not in the top 10.
You didn't know that, Charlie? You didn't know that Bill Self wears a toupee?
No, I did, but I'm trying to.
You're figuring out your answer? Should you stop? You got one opportunity left. You can do it, and you can win the game right now. It's a big decision here. You're going to stop it here, or you're going to wait?
I'm going to wait.
Okay. Number 10, the Duke Blue Devils. Number 11, you going to use it?
All right, well, now I'm definitely going to stop. I was thinking it was going to be either Duke or Tennessee at 10.
Number 11 is your Tennessee Volunteers. Falls one spot from 10, as they were at previously, but they got Tennessee just on the edge of the outside looking in.
Basketball.
What was that?
Basketball.
What is that from?
It's from a movie.
Basketball.
I thought that was one of you. What movie?
I forget. It's been on there for years now. It's an old drop.
Basketball.
I'm okay with 11.
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
Don't like to be too high sometimes.
Yeah, dude, you don't want to be too high. You don't want to come in. You don't want to be top five.
I agree. You lose one, people are going to overreact on you.
I like 11.
Okay.
I like 11. You're not even in the top 10. There's not even the pressure of the top 10.
I mean, if you're not going to be top 10, though, I'd rather be like 13.
Ah, please.
Now it's easier for us to get into the top 10.
Right behind Tennessee. So the next couple are Creighton, Michigan State, Texas Tech, North Carolina. That rounds out your top 15.
Creighton.
North Carolina was so bad last year. I mean, I know they get good players in every year, and they have Roy Williams, but
just, what a disaster!
It's like, yeah, whatever. That year didn't exist. We'll just put them back in the top 15 because of their name. I mean, maybe they'll be good, but maybe not.
So, man, there's so many things to be excited for about Tennessee basketball this season. I certainly think that Tennessee is going to be playing in the top 10 for a lot of the year. I think that this is going to be widely considered a top 10 team. And you do get that national recognition kind of coming into the season, which I will say is important. I know it's not like, you know, we're not the talk of college basketball right now, but look at the season last year. Like, you were a bubble team for the majority of it. Then towards the end of the season, you were slipping away from the bubble. Then once the season closed, you were like, well, there's no way we're on the bubble anymore. Wait, we're going to need a miracle in the SEC tournament. So to go from there, which was not a disaster by any means, but you knew you weren't. You know, you knew you weren't really competing that much, to then flip the script and go all the way up to an 11 preseason ranking just because of how confident national folks feel about this team. They feel great about Fulkerson and Pons coming back. They feel great about another year with Triple J and Vescovi. They feel great about Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson, and Corey Walker coming into this program. They feel great about EJ Anasicki, Victor Bailey Jr., who now get to play with this team. And then I do believe that
they high on Urosh?
You know, there's actually no mention of Urosh Plavsic in this article. I will say that.
I hope Urosh takes a big step.
I do too.
Well, he always steps are really big. He's 7-1.
Sounds good.
Rick was your only laugh.
That was good.
Did you also see?
It was quick. It was funny.
Yeah. Did you see that there's a report too that Tennessee is interested in
grad
transfer?
Yes, I did.
Paul Atkinson from Yale, who...
Big boy.
Good player. Very good player. Atkinson is in the transfer portal, but he announced that he would want to transfer in the spring, which doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm sure all these coaches are trying to convince him to come earlier, I guess, but if not, I mean, you get him for next year.
He was the co-player of the year in the Ivy League, 17.6 points, just shy of 8 rebounds per game.
Duke, Arkansas, Miami, Florida, USC, Stanford, Notre Dame, Gonzaga, Maryland, Texas, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, Wake Forest, Cincy, Georgia, Stanford, Kansas, Boston College, A&M, Virginia Tech, NC State, and Xavier have all been reaching out to him.
Could you just tell me the schools that have
college
not...
College one basketball?
Just tell me the schools that have basketball. Not reached out to him.
It looks like maybe Vanderbilt, Chattanooga, they haven't gotten to him yet.
Wofford. They're holding out.
What other SEC schools are on the list? So Kentucky was at 5. We're at 11. What other SEC schools are in the top 25 on that list?
On mine?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a good call. So you had Kentucky at 5. You had Tennessee at 11. So instantly, second best team in the SEC projected. Keep going down the list. Arizona State 17. Arizona State 16. Oregon,
LSU
17,
would be my only other guess.
18 West Virginia.
Auburn.
19 UCLA.
Maybe Arkansas.
20 Texas. 21 Houston. 22 LSU. 23 Florida State. 24 Ohio State. And 25, it is an SEC team. Who is it?
Arkansas.
Wrong.
Auburn.
Wrong.
Alabama.
Wrong.
Florida.
Res. I was about to say wrong again, but yes, that's correct. Florida comes in at 25. And those are the four SEC teams.
Puny little Mike White.
You have Kentucky 5, Tennessee 11, LSU.
You hate
22.
Mike White. The Brandon Orton Mike White.
We love Mike White as a Tennessee fan.
Yes, I love Mike White in Florida. But keep him there.
Golly. Give me the chomp. Or the when they did the chomp in Florida. How legendary was that?
Grand Admiral.
That's
nice.
Great moment. Hey, more at the Blitz right after this. All right, I will say, I didn't really expect this poll question to maybe pop off as much as it did, but it's going nuts right now. So let's kind of go through it. Let's see what the people think. Get the pulse of the people. Here's the poll question that we put out 24 minutes ago. If you haven't voted on this yet, be one of the millions of people who have already voted on it. Go do it right now. question is, do you at this moment, and I think that's an important part of the question, do you at this moment believe that Jeremy Pruitt has the ability to complete the rebuild, in parentheses, finish closing the gap, to use his own words, with Tennessee? Brandon, right now, there have been 645 votes cast. 58% say yes. So 58% of the people right now, hundreds and hundreds of people, still believe that, hey, Jeremy Pruitt does have the ability to complete the rebuild. And I very much specifically put that question, complete the rebuild. That I would imagine that all these people who voted yes know that word. Know that means, that doesn't mean a national championship, but does it mean being back in the SEC championship? Yeah, I think so.
I think it just means, to me, it just means competing for the East. Being relevant in the East.
Okay, that's what I meant, yeah.
But yeah.
I'm actually a little shocked by this.
You said the number was what?
So about 60-40 right now.
60-40.
With about 600 to 700 votes. 60-40 in favor of yes. I'm actually surprised. I thought maybe you'd have a little bit more people with a little bit more negativity coming in on Monday morning. But maybe it is. Maybe a lot of people are kind of out there thinking, hey, I know we just got our brains blasted in, but we played Alabama, for crying out loud. I think that maybe, you know, you and I might have voted no because, like, I still can't get the thought of Kentucky out of my mind. I can't get this thought of Butch Jones having closer and more competitive games. Charlie just sent us this tweet from Nathaniel Rutherford. This is nuts. Here's how many losses of 17-plus points Tennessee's most recent head coaches have had, and the percentage those losses make up of each coach's total losses. Pruitt is already sitting at 12, which is third most, and he's at 80%. Nobody else is even above 46 or 47%. There are so many things where, and I know maybe we're just compiling some of the you know, more negative statistics on top of each other, but that's why I voted no personally. My hope is that the answer is yes. Of course, like, I'm not a maniac.
I was looking at some of the replies to our poll question.
Oh yeah,
and I think I agree. Let me see if I can find who said it. I can give credit. Let's see. Ryan, he said, ask me again after the Arkansas game.
Fair.
And I think that's fair, because I do think you're right. I think a lot of people are, oh, well, it was Alabama. Who's not going to get the brakes beat off of them by Alabama? I don't know. I guess people have a short memory and forgot about Kentucky, but I mean, I will be. I think this Arkansas game next week is a must win. I mean, I don't think there's any way around it.
We talked about how that's kind of a candy corn phrase when we were talking about it with Kentucky. I remember talking about it with Blake Topmeyer of that. Not anymore. Now that is a must win. It's not an idea of a must win. It's not probably a must win. It's not like a you just really can't lose. No. No, well, it is a must freaking win.
I think not only is it a must win just for your football team and for the program this year, but
yeah,
I kind of feel like you're playing to try to salvage your fan base and any sort of support that they could give you the rest of the year. If you lose to Arkansas, I think there's a decent portion of our fan base that is just done, tuned out, done with Pruitt, done with JG, done for the season, come back next year.
Yeah. I want to read through some of...
to a sixth season of Jarrett Garantano.
I want to read through some of the comments here from the people who are chiming in on our poll. Give a shout-out to some of our listeners here. Nick says, get rid of Chaney before Chaney gets fired in year two of whatever quarterback is going to take over for JG. I can literally call every play before he calls it from home. Turnover on downs at the 40, trick play. First and 10, handoff. Third and 17, bubble screen. Let's see. Ben says, we're held back by JG 100%. Chaney doesn't believe in him, and the rest of the players don't. He needs to get out of Knoxville and let Tennessee shine with the new young quarterback. Let's see. Chunk. That's a good name.
But here's the thing. Here's my thing. I don't think we have a shiny young quarterback. I don't think we have one.
Harrison Bailey. Think about how amazing.
The great myth.
Think about how amazing everyone here felt about Harrison Bailey 5 months ago. The Wonder Boy, the savior of the program.
And you're telling me, Jeremy Pruitt is telling me that he somehow, some way, cannot find a better option than number two.
I mean, not to make excuses here, but
I know COVID, the lack of reps and everything else.
You know, I feel like, yeah, that kind of stunts his development some a little bit at the start of things. And I also think that he has one of the most conservative coaching staffs. I think plenty of other coaches would have been starting Harrison Bailey from like week three, if not week one. And I think we maybe should be playing him. But I think you look at Pruitt and you look at Chaney, and they're just not the kind of guys that will want to throw out their freshman quarterback.
Here's another thing, too. I wonder if Jeremy Pruitt and the coaching staff feels like the second that they move away from JG, they are putting their hands up and they're saying, this is a losing season in which we've lost, and we're just going to try to get ready for the future.
Hello, where have you been?
Do you think that's true from the coaching staff? Like, because a lot of the times,
no,
that kind
I'm
of
saying
is.
Where have they been? If that's
I know,
what they think,
I'm
I mean,
totally
we've
with you.
We've already lost to Kentucky. I mean, you've gotten the brakes beat off of you by Alabama and Georgia. I mean, and you're staring down an Arkansas team that looks pretty good, an A&M team that's top 10 in the country, an Auburn team that I mean is still probably better than you, and then you got Vanderbilt who you should beat, and Florida. I mean, you're looking at maybe two wins. I mean, if you're sitting right now, tell me how many games you expect Tennessee to win here from here on out. Five games. How many do you expect to win?
Two.
I think it's 2-1. 1-2.
Yeah. Two is generous at this current moment.
I mean, the way the offense is ugh.
I'll go 2-3.
I'm telling you, man, it is an atrocious
offense.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised if they somehow snuck up and beat Auburn. But, I don't think it's likely.
I can't get over how statistically atrocious the passing game is.
I just feel like Pruitt and this coaching staff's just stubbornness, their unwilling to change, is holding this team back in certain areas. Like, you were talking about this earlier, Brandon, how they just are so desperate to run this 1980s-style physical running offense. But they don't have the players to do it. And other teams adjust. They'll throw the ball downfield. They'll dink and dunk to play up to their competition and try to give themselves a chance, and we won't. We just want to be that team so bad.
More at the Blitz right after this. I'm doing a show. I'll be back soon. 4 a.m. I'm just getting started. For my birthday, I knew me. All right, fellas, here we go. 11:37 back here on the Blitz. Rick, Brandon, Charlie, Chance hanging out with you as we are making our way through the show. All right, we've had a lot of pretty heavy conversation about this Tennessee loss over the weekend. We're going to save some of our, or I guess all of our, NFL and college football SEC talk for tomorrow so we can have plenty of time to talk about that. Man, there were some wild games that happened in the football world over the weekend. Can I change topics for a second? Just completely shifting away from football. We have a little bit of light in the mood a little bit. I have a question for you guys. So here's the dilemma. Got Halloween coming up this Saturday, and I'm figuring out my costume. Right? I haven't done a costume in years. Just haven't done one. So I'm trying to figure out my costume. So I got a date for the you know, me and my date. We're going to the Halloween thing. And she is dressing up as a princess. Fairly common Halloween thing. But then asked what I was dressing up as. I said I hadn't planned it yet. And she suggested a prince to go, you know, the old two-for-once, you know, costume thing. So she said, you should be a prince, and I will be the princess. And I quickly responded to that. I said, well, that's not going to happen because I don't want to be a lame prince. This didn't, you know, this might have led to a little bit of a controversy. Maybe a little bit of a kerfuffle, if you will. But I don't want to be a prince for Halloween. That's lame, right? You got to have my back here.
a Prince sounds like the worst Halloween costume I've ever
seen. Why? It sounds terrible.
I think you should do it. Celebrate Halloween.
Why is that a bad costume?
I think you should do it.
It's lame. It's uncomfortable. It's stupid looking.
Yeah. Are you trying to get a second date?
Wow.
Huh?
Are you trying to get a second date?
I'm trying to keep my date.
Then wear the damn Prince costume.
Yeah, wear the Prince.
Listen to Charlie.
That's what you should do.
Don't listen to Charlie.
You should dress up like Prince instead. And just
now that would be really, really funny. Now, I would support that. That would be really, really funny.
But like,
that's the only way you get out of the Prince is if you dress up as Prince, Purple Rain Prince. Prince Nelson Rogers.
The artist formerly known as Prince.
My argument here was that no, like, you know, 7, 8, 9-year-old, you know, kid growing up, nobody looked at it. Nobody looked at their TV and said, you know what? I want to be the prince that Cinderella gets at the end of the movie. No guy was doing that. I mean, maybe some were, but it wasn't me.
You could be the frog that she kisses before you turn into the prince. Oh, God. I feel like you would make it. You have like some frog-like features already.
What?
In a good way.
Oh. What?
In a good
some froggy features.
You got like
Froggy Freddy.
Froggy Freddy.
I feel like if you were an animal, like frog would be up there for what you'd be.
Froggy Freddy.
A disgusting wart-covered frog.
No. Like the good guy.
A slimy frog.
You don't like frogs?
I don't mind frogs.
Yeah, I love frogs. I think frogs are cool. They're elegant. They're beautiful.
I think they're especially gross.
the tree frogs.
They're
never,
very.
You never wanted to pee on you though.
Yeah, you can't let them pee on you.
I wasn't planning on that, but good to know.
Yeah,
you get warts.
Ew.
I don't think that's true. I think that's an old wives' tale. I feel like a lot more
warts.
People.
How about we get a frog and let it pee on you then?
All right, let's do it. You bring the frog. I'll let it pee on me.
Okay then.
Are you so confident you'll let it pee on your face?
Oh. Oh. Okay.
And saying you don't want warts on your face.
Do it, Charlie.
See how confident you are.
No.
Yeah, he's
for
scared.
Other reasons.
For other sanitary reasons, no.
I don't want a frog on my face not urinating.
It says usually warts come from an infection in the top layer of the skin caused by viruses. Such as HPV.
Oh, does frog pee have HPV?
I didn't see anything about frogs. Let me see.
That's just regular pee.
Does frog pee cause warts? No. This is what Google says. Google says no, there are no amphibians that give you warts. So you should just let it pee on your face.
Old wives tale.
So if you want to have a frog just urinate all over you, you should be fine. You should be in the clear.
You're into that.
More of the story is I'm not going as Prince, as a Prince, or Prince in general. I probably couldn't pull either off.
I think it's a bad move.
What do you
think
want to go as?
That's the thing. I don't really have a plan.
You should just go as the Prince. You should just go.
Are people going to look at me, though, and they're going to be like, you look like a loser.
Probably.
With that stupid little crown and those stupid little balloon pants.
Balloon pants.
Again, you could be a Viking prince.
Balloon pants
with the facial hair. You can put on a Viking hat. Feel powerful. Prince.
Like Ragnar Lothbrok. Nobody's seen the show Vikings. Okay, moving.
No,
on. Moving on.
What about
It's a good show.
Erickson.
Leif Erickson.
He was a Viking, I think.
Yeah, he was.
Honey, is this your Prince costume? No, it's my Leif Erickson costume. Get over it.
You should do the Prince. Why can't you do the Prince?
Don't do the Prince.
Just feels lame.
Charlie's the one telling you not to do it. Chance and I are telling you to do it. Who are you going to go with?
What you going to do? Froggy Freddy.
Frogs are gross, man. Like, they live in swamps. They're muddy.
Oh, let's see.
They're nasty.
What about the tree frogs? The tree frogs aren't.
Yeah. You ever been frog gigging?
You've never seen a tree frog?
I haven't been frog gigging, but I've always wanted to.
I've been invited a couple times. I've never been able to
it's
do
a good
it,
time.
But I think I would like
good time.
To.
Have you ever been snipe hunting?
No.
I'll take you snipe hunting.
Hunting with a sniper?
No.
No, snipe. You go hunting for snipes.
Yes.
We'll take you.
All right, I got you right here, Rick. Frog costume for your.
Hey, hold up. Type in sexy frog costume.
Boy, I look like a messed up Ninja Turtle.
See, right here, $14.99. This is what you get the gloves. No! Yeah.
No, that is the worst costume.
Oh my!
I've ever
Do
seen.
Do not serve sexy frog costume. These are so weird.
Now that I could pull off.
Wait, is this?
No.
Was that? You should do the
prince.
About?
You should do the prince.
All right,
for sure.
Maybe.
Don't Maybe. Do it.
By the way, a snipe hunt is a practical joke. Just learned that. So thanks.
Oh wait.
Final segment right here on the Blitz, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. We can't leave without telling you some good stuff. I'm keep telling you about FanDuel. That's right, FanDuel, America's number one sports betting site for a reason. And right now, the FanDuel Sportsbook is going to give you, that's right, give you new users $50 in free bets just for signing up. That's right, $50 in free site credit to register and verify early with no deposit required. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and then lock it in, as you've heard us talk about in the last couple of weeks. I'm going to keep telling you every day, especially as we prepare for the Tennessee Open bet deadline, or not deadline, but the open date coming up on
less than a week. Yeah, less than a week
away. Target date is less than a week away, so we got to keep you informed. And just like we've been doing, go ahead and download your FanDuel Sportsbook app right now so you can jump on that $50 free site credit. And unlike the other sportsbooks, once you win FanDuel, they're not going to make you wait. They're going to get your cash to you in as little as 24 hours because it's the right thing to do. So right now, the right thing for you to do, like I said, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out the app for yourself. Just be sure to sign up, register, use promo code BLITZ. I promise you, it's very easy. I have an iPhone. You might have an iPhone. Maybe you have an Android. Go to the Google Play Store and just download the app, FanDuel Sportsbook. Because as Rick said earlier, they have many different FanDuel apps, but you want the FanDuel Sportsbook app, and make sure to use promo code BLITZ so they know that we sent you. And when you verify that account after you do all your sign-up, add your email, you'll receive the $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live and when Tennessee betting goes live on the target date of November 1st. That's promo code BLITZ to get the $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. And as always, kiddos, you got to be 21 years or older, and present in Tennessee. Site credit will be non-withdrawable and will expire 7 days after receipt. Terms will apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for more details. And for problem with gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Remember, promo code BLITZ.
Jump on the deal as quick as you can. Hey, it is the best thing to do.
You don't want to be last in line.
We got confidence picks. We got one game to pick.
Oh my God. I didn't even realize that. Okay. It's the Bears and the
Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, okay. All right. How are we looking from confidence predictions yesterday?
Bad, Nicky, bad, very bad, terrible.
Hey, Brandon, shout out to Cincinnati.
Coward. Ugh. Where were your ponies at, Rick?
My chance of career is one.
They looked horrible, didn't they?
Yeah.
They didn't look great.
And if you'd have been a true fan and rode with them, you know.
Hey, do you now believe my power that I can curse any football team in an instant? I said that I was all in on SMU. Look what they did. Crumbled. All right, so let's look what we have here today.
Monday can you night go football? All in on Arkansas?
Yeah. Monday Night Football.
You have been rooting for them lately.
I have. The Bears. At the L.A. Rams. Ooh. A lot of red on this board from this week. Not a great week for anybody.
I had a pretty good week.
Oh, I broke the new season low. That has been broken twice this year.
Both times by you.
No. I broke it, and now I re-broke it.
This is incredible.
Yeah, you had a bad
Did you see what I did next week? I'm not even. I retired.
Yeah, Seahawks, that was a big win, big loss last night, and Rick's arch nemesis, Kyler Murray, looks pretty damn good at quarterback. I thought he was going to be a fluke.
He did that thing last night, Rick.
He did that thing. He's good.
He didn't do it the week before against the Cowboys. He looked terrible.
He didn't need to. He didn't need to.
Shut up. All right.
We are. He looked bad. I mean, he looked really good.
Get your good points out of here.
He looked really good. All right, so
I'm going with the Bears. 6 points.
Hey, me too. I'm riding Chicago for 3 points.
I'm with the Bears. I think they're not flashy.
No.
Not flashy, but they're going to get it done. I think they get it done against the Rams.
I'm going to go with the Rams for 3. Charlie, did you pick a tie?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, not picking anybody. That's a new one in confidence. It is. That's a new one.
I think I should get extra points.
If they have a tie, I think we should give you 10 points. If they get a tie, I'm with it. I'll give him 10.
I'll give him 10 if there's a tie.
If he correctly predicts a tie, he gets 10 points.
Okay.
I'm with it.
Let's go tie some football tonight, baby.
But if it's anything but, those 2 points are off the board.
Oh, yeah. You lose those 2 points.
All right, so we got that Monday Night Football. Hey, I just wanted to say one quick, if you haven't heard before we get into the days, this is pretty cool. And hey, shout out to all the people that have worked very hard to get all these things done. There was certainly a point this year where it didn't look like this was ever going to happen. But guys, over the weekend, 45 college football games took place.
Yeah.
Only one was postponed. Good on everybody across the country putting this sport together, getting it together in the right way. Again, 45 college football games played over the weekend, one postponement. Keep up the good work.
That was a good job. Was a good job by the people to get college football back. Like you said, who knew that we would even get to this point? All right, you want to look at the days?
Oh, I'd love to.
Today's national days. Today is National Pumpkin Day. How you guys feel about pumpkin?
As far as eating,
like pumpkin seeds, like pumpkin pie?
I like pumpkin pie, kind of. I like you put it in the microwave with some whipped cream on top. That's the way to go.
I think you can only have pumpkin pie with whipped cream.
Bread is to die for.
Yeah, it's pretty good,
but
too.
The pumpkin spice flavoring, that whole thing is overrated.
It's overrated. Have you ever...
Pumpkin bread.
Oh. Is it like just bread?
Yeah, pumpkin bread.
The pumpkin roll.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Yeah, the pumpkin roll.
Pumpkin roll solid.
To die for. I actually have one at home right now.
It's also National Day of the Deployed, so shout out to all of our deployed soldiers. Like a special shout out to my girlfriend's brother, Mikey. His name is Mikey. He is right now in Guantanamo Bay. He is Michael Cooper. He's a military police. Also, it's National Mule Day. You guys got any mules?
Yeah. The pack mule.
There is a town near me that has a mule day celebration every year.
It's also National Financial Crime Fighter Day.
Financial crime?
Yeah, that's
like
a new
the
one
superhero
for
of the tax world?
Exactly. It's like a super auditor.
That's Tom Hanks from Catch Me If You Can.
It's also National Mince Meat Day. Okay. These days just line up. It's a National State Day, too.
No! Not like last week!
No, it's better. It's National Tennessee Day! Hey!